In the Gospel reading today, St. John the Baptist sends two of his disciples to ask our blessed Lord if he is the one who is to come, or are they to look for another? And after our Lord answers their question, then he turns the tables on the people and asks them about John the Baptist. Why did you go out to the desert? What did you go out there to see? And that's a great question for them, to really stop and think about what this was all about. And on one hand, we can look at it and recognize that obviously for those people, especially if they were up by Jerusalem, this was quite a challenge. It was 20 miles away where John the Baptist was preaching. But even more than the 20 miles, remember, Jerusalem is 5,200 feet above sea level, and the Dead Sea, down by where John the Baptist was preaching, is 2,000 feet below sea level, the lowest spot on earth. So that means the people from Jerusalem had to make a decision that they were going to walk, or at best ride on the back of a donkey for 20 miles, 7,200 feet downhill, and then they had to come back 7,200 feet up the mountain to get back home. This wasn't a quick, easy journey. They didn't have cars like us where we can flip on the air conditioner and drive at 70 miles an hour, or as it is today, flip on the heat and drive for whatever. And so it was an arduous journey. But at the same time that we say that, we have to remember they didn't have TV sets, lucky people. They didn't have computers, they didn't have radios, they didn't have any of that. And so the question was this a matter of curiosity? Was this a matter of entertainment? We hear about this guy who's out there preaching in the desert and wearing camel skin. Let's go out and see this nut. Let's go hear what he has to say. This might be kind of fun. What did they really go out to see is the question. That's what our Lord is asking them. Because if they went out to hear the message that John the Baptist was preaching, it was a message of repentance. It was a message of changing their lives. That's what he was calling them to. That's what he was challenging them with. And so now then we have to turn it the other way. What did you come here for today? Why are you here? Most of you had to make a decision to go out in the cold, to drive a fair distance. You could be staying home watching a stupid football game, or you could be home watching cartoons or whatever it is that they've got on. Why did you come here? Did you come here because you were hoping to get entertained? Some good music? Maybe you'd see somebody in beautiful vestments. I guess we got that. These were actually being thrown away, literally. I pulled them out of the trash 35 years ago. But we have to realize that these things would be the wrong reason for being here. The beauty of the church, the beauty of the music, the beauty of the vestments, whatever, that's to draw us to God. Remember when I was at St. Agnes, we had all kinds of beautiful vestments. We'd have these priests that would come and they would literally stand there in front of the mirror and act like they were models, seeing how pretty they were in these beautiful vestments. Like, barf. These aren't for you, this is for God. We literally had one. I mean, this is absolute truth. He said, I love coming to St. Agnes. Where else could I go to dress up like a medieval prince? Give me a break. It's not about you. The beauty of the vestments is for the Lord. The beauty of the church is for the Lord. Yes, it's to help enhance our worship of God, but it's all directed to the Lord. So again, why are you here? If you're here because you want to worship God, because you want union with Jesus, because you recognize that the Lord in his mercy is going to give himself to you in Holy Communion so that we can conform ourselves to him, that's what this is about. If it's just because it's Sunday and this is what we do on Sundays, wrong reason. It's good you're here, but that's where we need to listen to what St. John the Baptist is telling us, to repent, to change our lives. We can even look forward a little bit. Ask yourself now, a couple of weeks from now, what's Christmas really all about to you? Is Christmas about decorations, lights, and presents? Or is Christmas about Jesus? Is Christmas about the love of God, that who loves us so much that he became one of us to take away our sins so that we could spend eternity with him? Or is it just an excuse for a party? See, we have to look at what our motives are. We have to look at what's going on the inside, because it's become so easy just to give lip service to the Lord while our hearts are far from him. We don't want to be doing that. We can look even at our disposition toward what's going on in society. St. John the Baptist was letting the people know that their society was not good. Jesus made it very clear, this is an evil generation, he said. What do you think he'd say about ours? And if that's what the deal was 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, yeah, that looks pretty tame compared to the United States. But as I keep challenging you, have we tried to find a compromise with the situation in our society? Do we come to Mass on Sunday and then walk out so we can live like a pagan? It doesn't work. We have to make some choices. We need to change our lives. Just look what's been going on in society just the last couple of weeks. There's some disgusting company, which I have to admit I had never heard of in my life until last week. And it's the pure exploitation of children. It's about pedophilia and putting that right out there in your face. They're not even trying in the least bit to hide what they're about. In fact, so clear did they try to make it that not only is all the symbolism there, but in one of their photo shoots, they had this thing like that looked like, you know, the police tape, you know, except it had the company name on it. But rather than starting with B-A-L, which is how the company name starts, it started with B-A-A-L. Baal. Who are they worshiping? They're not hiding it. But that's not even the worst of it. How much have you heard on the news? How much have you heard from all these loudmouths that are shooting off their mouth about anything and everything? And if they think Company A is having too much carbon in the air, or they think you have too big of a family and your carbon footprint is unacceptable, oh my goodness, they'll be right out there on whatever these things are, Facebook or something, and they'll be letting the world know how horrible you are. There was somebody a couple of weeks ago, or a few weeks ago, I guess, and he made some anti-Semitic comment. And all these companies were screaming, as they should, that's fine. You need to cut ties with this guy, get rid of him. And so they did. This despicable company has little children. And they have teddy bears that are in chains and bondage and leather straps and all the different disgusting things. Where are all the Hollywood speaking talking heads? Where's the media? The silence is deafening. In fact, rather than condemning it, the New York Times actually wrote a piece defending it. And so if we follow their logic, first of all, when the company was finally called out on it, they said, oh, it's the photographer's fault. Really? The photographer only shoots the pictures. He didn't set it up. Oh, well, it's this other group's fault. Well, they came out and said, no, we didn't do that. So it's always somebody else's fault. And then the New York Times came out. Guess who they blamed it on? You and me. It's the conservatives' fault. Really? We're the ones that put little children in these pictures, and we're the ones that set up all these satanic things, and we're the ones that are saying that they should be worshiping the devil. That's our fault? That's according to the New York Times. So what we need to do is exactly what we're being asked to do. Repent. We need to change. We need to quit making compromises with this kind of horrible garbage. Any company that is going to be doing this, any company that's going to be supporting it, we need to say absolutely not. Even worse, those that are in favor of killing the babies. How many of these places are doing this and we just say, oh, but I like their stuff. Really? Once again, what we're showing ourselves then is to be hypocrites. We come here and we give glory to God, and we walk out and we serve the devil. Jesus said, a house divided cannot stand. So we need to make a choice. And what you can see very clearly are the lines are being drawn. That's why you're not hearing anything from any of these people. Because they don't condemn it. Because they're part of it. So if all these Hollywood stars are in favor of this, cut them off. Don't go to their blasted movies. If the talking heads aren't in favor of it, stop watching them. If the sports organizations aren't going to condemn it because they're condemning anything and everything that goes against the popular thing, then stop looking at them. As long as they know that they're going to continue getting the money, they're going to continue doing what they're doing. But we need to make a choice. Again, it comes right back to the question, why are you here today? If you're here because you want to worship and serve the one true living God, then praise God. But don't just do it for 1 hour a week. Do it for your whole life. It's not just what you're doing when you're here in this building. It's about what you're doing outside of here. We have to live it. And as this continues, as I keep on reminding you and pointing out to you, now you can see it even more clearly what's going on in society. Things are going to keep getting worse. And it's a test to see if we're going to remain faithful to God. So if we look at it on one hand, yeah, it's a horrible time to be alive. We live in an evil time. But if we look at it the other way, there's never been a better time to be alive. Because there's never been a better time to become a saint. And that's what God is asking from each one of us. He wants us to be holy. He doesn't just want us to give him lip service, he wants us to live it. And that's what each one of us is called to do. So we need to look at the motive. So there is the question that is there. Those disciples of John the Baptist, they want to know, is Jesus the Messiah? Our Lord turns it over and asks them, who is John the Baptist? Was he just an actor? Was he somebody there to entertain you? Was he just some nut? No, he is more than a prophet, Jesus said. He's the one who was sent before the Lord to prepare his way. He continues to call out that same message. Prepare the way of the Lord. St. Paul said that with one mouth we are to give glory to God. And that's what we're about. And so as things continue along, as I've told you before, there is going to be no middle ground. It is one side or the other, and each of us has to make a choice. And right now, it's an easy choice to make. It's not too bad yet. But as things continue to get worse, the question is, are we going to remain faithful? And if it's just lip service we're giving, we're not going to remain faithful. If we're looking to be entertained, if we're looking for fun, if we're whatever reason, we're not going to remain faithful. If we are about loving God, worshiping God, serving the living God, then we will remain faithful. So Jesus was asking the people what their motive was when they went out to the desert. And that's what he's going to ask each one of us today. Why are you here? What's your purpose? What's the motive? Why did you come here today? Thanks be to God you are here. But now let's look deeper. And if there's something that needs to be adjusted, let's make that adjustment so that we are truly living for the glory of God. That's what St. Paul is asking of us. Jesus, he said, is the fulfillment of all the promises given to the Jewish people. He is also the one who will be glorified because of the mercy he's shown to the Gentiles. We've inherited both. We have all the promises given to the Jewish people. We have the mercy of God extended to all of us. There is great reason to glorify God. But we don't just want to give it in lip service. We want to live it. So what we're doing here, we need to bring out there. And we need to really make some changes in our lives to truly repent. Remember, that's what St. John the Baptist did when the Pharisees came. He didn't just let them go through the motions. He said, why are you clowns here? Who told you to escape the coming tribulation? Show some sign, he said, of your repentance. So it wasn't enough just to say, oh, well, everybody's going down there and getting baptized by this guy. I guess I will too. No, he challenged them and he said, show some sign. Give me some indication. By your actions, demonstrate what it is that you're doing here. That's what our Lord's going to be asking of each one of us. Not just why are you here? But if we can make that adjustment and say, I'm here to worship the Lord, I'm here to serve the living and true God, then he's going to say, show some sign of that. Show the indication of it, not just when you're here in church, but especially when you're out there in the society that has gone astray, amid an evil generation that doesn't know the Lord. That's where it's all going to be demonstrated. We don't want to show ourselves to be hypocrites. We don't want to show ourselves to be a house divided, but rather we want to be the people of the Lord, the ones who look at Jesus and say, yes, I believe that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, that he is the only means for salvation. And not only do I love him, I will spend my life serving the Lord.